You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, we thank you so much for coming to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to us, and I pray that you would come to us now through the power of your Holy Spirit. Be with us. Go before me. Be in our hearts and in our minds. Pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Connor, would you mind grabbing that? Or grabbing that door? And Cole, would you mind just grabbing that back door? Thank you. So just a little bit about this class today. This came to me in my mind when I was experiencing this feeling of, okay, Advent is beginning. I need to get a devotional, an Advent devotional. And then I thought, you know, I might be 4 days in that devotional and forget that I have the devotional. And then I thought, we should get a wreath. And I was like, but we might forget lighting the wreath. And that's the idea for this class came. And I just, I've done this before. I wrote like a little sort of essay, sort of type class. And I'd love for us to listen to this and then to engage with it afterward and see if it resonates with anybody. So that's what we're doing today. Does that sound exciting? Or you're like, oh, I have to listen to Will. Yeah, I'm just kidding. It's okay if you do, but you're here, and the doors are closed. It's like the Hotel California. So here's what I have for us today. And this scripture came to me. This is from Acts 17, which is not necessarily an Advent scripture, but it spoke to me here. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Everyone has a way of getting ready for Christmas. This hardly needs unpacking, but since you're here, and since I have the floor, and because we are all, in fact, getting ready for Christmas, 4 weeks away, it would be imprudent not to. Christmas is such a cultural phenomenon that it would simply be too much to turn up on December 25th ready for action. Could you imagine if we treated it like Labor Day? Think about it. How bizarre would it be if we just remembered the day before that it was Christmas and showed up on somebody's doorstep ready with sweaters on and a few gifts under our arms for the lucky few we remembered to shop for? It just doesn't work. Christmas has a gravitational pull that's bigger than we are. And we're used to this in other areas of our life, too, spaces that need the buildup, that are in some ways bigger than the thing itself. We don't get to the Super Bowl Sunday without several rounds of playoffs and a bye week. We don't get to a presidential election without a year of nonstop coverage. And we don't get a Taylor Swift album without a giant marketing campaign and two singles drops, except for her edgier material, of course. So, of course, we don't get to Christmas without the ramp up. It's too rich not to. And we all have different ways of getting ready for it. Some of us let the sports calendar guide us home with the bowl season, the college football playoff, a wind down to the NFL slate, and Christmas Day lineups, and so on. Other of us go the Mariah Carey route. And we won't talk about those who have had trees up since Halloween. The ramp up to Christmas is a thing, and it's needed. It draws us out of everyday humdrum of meetings, chores, commutes, and home life. We need Christmas and all that's wrapped up in it. We need the buildup. We need the parties. We need the anticipation. We need the nervousness about seeing your in-laws or your mom's left-wing aunt or your dad's right-wing brother. We need a space for life not to look like the first week of October or the third Saturday in April. And if at this point you think I've been setting you up for a Keep Christ and Christmas diatribe, you can relax. Because we need these cultural touch points, and it would be inaccurate to act like those don't exist or they don't do real work for us. What I am here to talk about, though, is, in fact, the Jesus part of Christmas and where his part in the buildup meets your own. There seem to be one or two times a year when people seem to buy back into Christianity, or at least search for it to begin with. We find this is happening increasingly so with the rising online generations who are looking for real substance in their lives. But it's not just them that are turning up for church more or seeking to learn about it. And as I said, there are a couple times of year when this seems to be more prevalent than others. Lent and its build up to Easter is one of these. Its perceived rigor and raw honesty about our lives being finite can be seen as a time to draw yourself out of yourself and into a more idealized version of you. With that, there's more than certainly a more certain. There's certainly more than a small amount of, if I buy back in on God, maybe he'll buy back in on me. Advent is one of these times too. I mean, you and I are here. And to some extent, I've seen it treated more like a jolly version of Lent, trading holly for ash, colored lights for darkness, and festive cocktails for sobriety. And I've done that too, by the way. We go through the rituals of lighting candles of certain colors and certain orders and reading Advent devotionals, opening Advent calendars with 24 days to bingo. And it's all well-intentioned, and it serves the good purpose of going alongside the football and the lights and the shopping and the eggnog in a spiritual way. And I'm all for this, by the way. I'm a card-carrying Advent observer. But I also want to caution us here, too, because at the end of the day, purple candles aren't the point. And here's why. In those one or two times a year when we buy back into Christianity, there's usually one or two reasons why we're knocking on the door. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it because there are a lot of other cooler things we could be doing. You see, no one comes to Christianity hoping for a few more small things in our lives to do. They usually turn up because there are usually one or two things in our lives, either external factors or internal personal powers that we'd like to see changed. And to one degree or another, we find or we hope that Christianity can help with that endeavor. And more than that, we hope that God will hear our longings. And if all that Christianity has to offer is seemingly candles and calendars and well-meaning devotionals, well, that's pretty dry toast. The season of Advent has been observed since sometime in the 5th or 6th century, its name coming from the term Adventus, meaning coming or arrival. Of course, in this season, we're not waiting for the actual incarnate God to arrive every year like a passing comet, or a relative driving through town on his annual beach trip. Jesus only came once, only 2,000 years ago, to the little town of Bethlehem. Perplexingly, we're actually waiting for his coming again. And it's no secret that people have been longing for more since the beginning of time. The people of Babel longed to climb to heaven. Noah longed for dry land. Abraham and Sarai longed for a son. Moses longed for a promised land. And in the latter stage of the Old Testament, God's people longed for home. And when we turn the page to the New Testament and find John the Baptist coming onto the scene, Jesus' cousin and hype man, we find that God's people conquered again this time by the Romans. And more than that, though, they had not heard from him in a very long time. This was confusing to them because it was in God himself in whom they found their whole identity. One has to wonder what their longings were. Specifically, I mean, they'd certainly rather have a Hebrew king rule them, not a Roman Caesar. Far away, albeit they'd been through worse. They'd like not to have to worry about which Jews were on their team and which you were tax collecting wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm looking at you, Matthew. But most of all, I bet they wanted God himself to be near them. They wanted him to speak to them as the prophets had of old. They wanted God to send them the anointed one they'd been promised for hundreds of years, who had established themselves as their king forever in a way that David and his lineage never could. They wanted to know that the maker of heaven and earth had their back, that it wasn't just some foreign God, he was theirs. With this longing in view, it's easy to see why all four Gospels recount John the Baptist's lightning bolt declaration, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Anyone who has heard those six words out loud is either crazy, "Do you believe in the tinfoil hat guy with the sign?" or they had something real to offer. But John meant it, and he was right. When God's people heard those words from a man who looked not too far from the street preacher, his legs submerged in sacred waters, the same waters that God's people had crossed for the first time they made landfall. Everyone rushed down to him. They couldn't get to him fast enough. They were ready for the real thing to come, ready for the real thing to change their lives and change their circumstances. They were ready to be the people they longed to be again. They were people who had likely had one or two things they'd like to see change in their lives, and apparently no one else but God himself could help. And guess what? The real thing came. And the world has not been the same since. Now, there are one or two times a year when people decide it's time to buy back into Christianity, and they're looking for something. And I'm glad that's true, because we need those on-ramps. There's no doubt that this time of year is one of them, and here's why. By December, any sort of self-improvement plan we've made for the year has likely gone by the wayside, along with any attempts to reboot it. It is no secret, too, that this is a lonely time of year, particularly if you want a person to share your life with or to create a family with the person you do share your life with. But that hasn't gone the way you thought it would have. And we all, to some extent, get to the final stretch of year. We're tired of our own stuff, baggage, neuroses, and subtle reminders that we're not the people, at least not entirely, that we want to be. What we're after, then, is the real thing. We're after the real thing that touched down on planet Earth a little over 2,000 years ago. We're after the real thing that has real power, real substances, who sees our real souls, knows our real thoughts, what we've done and haven't done, and isn't afraid of any of it. We're after the real thing that can make dry bones live, and if he can do that, then surely he can handle what we have going on. If you've come to this point of the year with Jolly Lent in mind, thinking that if we buy back into God with some Advent practices, then maybe he'll buy back into us, it's probably best that I just go ahead and say now that we're probably going to miss some of those devotional days in our books, forget to light our candles at night, maybe mess up the order in which they go in, and enjoy a bourbon-laced eggnog a little too much one night. What I'd hate for us to get from any of that, and for those of us that's bound to happen to any of us, it is to feel that we've messed up this hand, and we have to wait for Ash Wednesday to get dealt back in. Because the truth is that if we think we need to buy back into God so he'll buy back into us, I hate to break it to you, and I'm also delighted to say that we're wrong. Because he's already all in, and he doesn't just come around once a year like a comet. He is coming again one day for the good, for good. And in the words of St. Paul, he is actually not far from each of us. So as we light the candles, and I'm going to, unless I forget, or read our devotionals, I'm sure there are some good ones, and watch the college football playoff, and avoid left and right wing family members, and buy trees and string them up, might we head into this Advent season knowing that our deepest longings are really for him, Jesus the Messiah, the real thing, who can actually meet them, and perhaps in these weeks and beyond, the big day, might we seek him and tell him what's going on, and perhaps feel our way towards him and find him. That's my offering for the day. I would love to see, and we have a very informal chat. Would love to have that. Does that resonate with anybody? Does buying the Advent devotional and forgetting to do it resonate with anybody? Or does having Advent and Lent as like the season where you're like, all right, I'm doing it this time, does that resonate with anybody? And if so, say more. Yeah.
I guess I'll front run my commentary for next week.
Bring it.
But there's a lot of what you've said that I've already pulled out. I think what strikes me about Advent and Lent as being very parallel seasons and the seasons that kind of bring people in is it's this anticipation of like a deadline. You know, there's this major holiday that I've got to be there for.
Mm-hmm.
But both of those seasons, like in our liturgical calendar, are seasons of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting to me how, like, our human nature, even if we aren't familiar with the liturgical calendar, like, inherently we almost sense that parallel, used it as, like, a gravitational pull, where it feels more receptive to step into the church, because the church itself is a little more bare.
Mm-hmm.
Lent, strips during Lent, but Advent has
stresses. Sure.
I think the difference is maybe for the period of fasting, you don't really recognize it in the world well, but it's a feasting on what is coming. It's a feasting on a hope. It's a feasting on the expectation. And that's what it's good to. That's why it's comforting. Mm-hmm. It's the expectation, but it's not the expectation of I myself.
Mm-hmm.
Need to have it done by then, but if I show up, it will be done on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it's like a month long sort of like PSA, of like it's coming.
Not like a, yeah. Not like a New Year's resolution. It's
totally.
Not a hope that I'm gonna get it together.
Right.
It's the hope that I'm just gonna show up.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be given.
I love that.
I think I said this last year. I was talking about nostalgia and how nostalgia can help us like pull out those feelings of like, I'm just going to show up and it's going to be like it used to be. And I need that. Like I need it to be like it used to be when I was a kid. And, because I tend to show up on Christmas Day, like showing up to a flight that left an hour ago and you're like, oh man, I missed it. And so my like counterpoint to that is like, I'm going to work really hard to not miss it this year. And then 2 weeks in, I'm like, oh, I'm missing not missing it right now. If that makes sense. That what you said of Caroline is really helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you think you would feel that way if you hadn't been a kid? Like, does that make sense? Like, you're a kid and it's all done for you?
No, yeah.
Like it's the natural posture of Advent, and yet as an adult, especially those of us with kids, like, we have to be the doers. Like, there's
right.
that friction.
Sure.
That well, we can't approach it like the child with our arms outstretched because we're so busy giving that to someone else.
Definitely. I'm trying to, and like I know not all of us have kids, and if you do, like I've found it helpful to like look at Christmas through my 3-year-old's eyes, because she is just like, she's a monkey out of a box right now. I mean, she's just going crazy all the time about Christmas, and I think like, man, this is awesome, looking it through her eyes. But then like if you don't have kids, it is helpful. I find it helpful to look at it like a child, like I am a kid, because then there are, actually aren't any expectations, because like my parents are going to do the shopping, they're going to like host the party, they're going to, you know, they're going to buy the tree, they're going to, and I just get to enjoy it. I'm not the engine room of Christmas. I'm just, I don't know, on the top deck enjoying myself, you know.
I think either way, you, like sociologists, they all say the best things in hindsight that we realize in life are things we don't ask for. Like we didn't, the things that shape us the most, you know, we didn't ask to be born, we didn't ask to have X or Y parents,
mm-hmm.
or we don't ask to, living where we're living, you know, it's just these things that they happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christmas or Advent or all these seasons, they just, I think that's kind of part of the routine, the yearly routine is just, it's good that we're busy, because that makes us realize, oh, this is happening and I'm not asking for it. This is, here it is, and I'm not ready.
Right. You know? Well, no, it's like let it happen.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah, don't force it. Let it happen. Let
yeah.
it happen.
Yeah,
it's just kind of this proof that like, okay, there's something going on, you know, something in control that's set this all, this calendar into motion, and it's not us saying, okay, you know, we're going to start this next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to choose this year what day we start Advent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's already. That's what I love about the, you know, calendar.
Yeah.
It's nice to, nobody's asking my opinion.
Right.
Or your opinion, or, you know, it's like it's already been set hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just nice to be on a ride in a way.
Right. Be like a, there's a passivity there. It's good. And not trying to, yeah, be in the driver's seat of it. That's helpful.
Like Jay Gardner in his adventurer letter a few weeks ago, when he was, because I resonated with, like, it drives me crazy that the Christmas music was, you know, already being played on 96.5,
right,
like, way before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But his point was, you know, that's a good sign that the world is yearning for, they want to start the season, mm-hmm. soon. They
yeah.
want to get this going. They want something more than their 9 to 5. You know,
yeah.
that routine. They want to enter into some other, you know, invite Christianity back into their lives.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's good. I'll put 96.5 back on my
preacher. Yeah. No, I used to be so anti that. Like, you'd be like, okay, I'm not doing it. It's Thanksgiving. I'm observing Thanksgiving. Where's Thanksgiving music? They're just kidding. But then I'm like, no, like, yeah, it's like, just like, let it happen. Like, it's actually helpful. It's helpful for me to have, like, the elongated Christmas set up, rather than just, yeah, Christmas is going to be here, like, yeah, in 4 weeks. Like, it's, like, it's which will go by like that.
It also takes pressure off of you, because you can start earlier, you don't have to cram
something.
Yeah.
Whereas my 6-year-old is like, why is everybody decorated for Christmas? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're wrong.
It does seem like, and that's, I don't know, like, when we can say this started happening when, but it certainly seems like it's like Halloween goes and Christmas starts in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's like people are like, well, while we're taking out the Halloween stuff, we might as well put the Christmas stuff. Like, we have these neighbors that, they're a little bit crazy. And they're great. But they, like, have this crazy, like, Halloween setup with, like, it's graphic and violent and, like, half people and, like, it's, but they have a whole U-Haul where they bring in their Halloween stuff. Like, they have a storage unit somewhere where they, like, bring in their Halloween stuff because, like, when you see the U-Haul there, you're like, it's coming. And then they take it back and they're like, we're not getting two U-Hauls.
No.
And they bring the Christmas stuff back. And then it's like, and it's here. Which is so funny. Our Isabel, our, yeah, she's not afraid of it. She's like, oh, that's so pretty. I think, it won't be one day.
It's interesting. The opposite is true of, like, the anticipation we're really good at. Even our society, you know, things we've been talking about, you know, sort of society's version of Advent, even though it's just kind of Christmas early, but that's all. But, you know, my mom's like, the 26th, like, the tree is on the street. Mm-hmm. It's plastic now, so it's, I guess, it's in the attic. And it's just like, what, you know, the sustaining the Christmas is a lot harder for some reason.
We need to bring back the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know. I just, it's just kind of
interesting. I wonder why that is. Like, why people, hey, why do y'all think, why are people throwing the trees on the street on the 26th?
Because they're messy.
Yeah, they just want their house to be clean again. Yeah,
women understand men, though.
I was about to say, this seems like a thing. Women and male. Okay, that was a quick answer, both of y'all.
It was the opposite in my house. We had it up till January 15th, and that made me mad, so.
Mm-hmm.
I've always sort of felt like with Christmas, I feel like we've been talking a lot about, like, sort of how often the season can feel like contrived, like, oh, I have to feel this certain way or do these rituals to make it feel as such. But something I feel like that spoke to me for a lot of time, and I'm sure a lot of folks here have heard, like, the Vince Guaraldi, Charlie Brown Christmas album, mm-hmm. which, like, is awesome and we love it. But I feel like one thing I've always liked about that one is, like, most Christmas music you hear, which is great and I love, but it, like, it strikes a certain, like, emotional tone, like the holly jolly and that sort of stuff, which is great and there's a place for that, but I've always felt like the Charlie Brown Christmas album kind of gives permission to, like, feel something else in the Christmas season. Like, it's not overtly super cheery, like, it's a little moody. I mean, mm-hmm. if you listen to it, and, you know, Charlie Brown's kind of a bummer guy too. and that album, and that's not to say it should all feel downer or whatever, but that album, it kind of, like, inadvertently gives you permission to kind of experience Christmas in a different way, which I've always kind of liked. It feels like Christmas uncontrived, which is, like, I've loved that about that mm-hmm. album. So it's kind of like the opposite of trying to control Christmas, the Charlie Brown mm-hmm. Christmas album, and the show provides, like, a different alternative to it, mm-hmm. which is cool. So
I also think this age group is hard because you're also trying to honor, like, your parents' idea of Christmas while also appeasing to, if you have children or a spouse or a significant other, what that looks like. And it's not like the yearning for Jesus that is anxiety ridden. It's the, have you ever heard the saying, like, traditions are honoring dead people?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what the anxiety is from. Not necessarily the spirit of Jesus, but same with Easter.
Mm-hmm. Thinking, your thing about your comment, Connor, the Charlie Brown Christmas, and, like, because we don't always feel all jolly for 37 days straight or 48 days straight, however long Christmas is right now, or Advent, or pre-Advent or cultural Advent. I was thinking about this. Have you ever seen the movie American Gangster? Like, mid-2000s, yeah. A lot of guys nod their heads. Love it.
Denzel
Washington. We watched that movie, and Elizabeth said, I think I like crime dramas. And I was like, I got a lot more for you. We're doing it. We're doing it. And, yeah, we're waiting for that day. And there's this great scene. Now, it's Thanksgiving, but it's sort of the same thing. There's a scene of, like, they're showing all these families celebrating Thanksgiving. Like, there's families around, and they're carving the turkey, and they're having this, like, really nice, like, suit and tie, New York City Thanksgiving in this dining room. And then Russell Crowe, who is a single, recently divorced, single dad, is in his little Brooklyn apartment making a turkey sandwich. And he's putting the chips on it, and he like crunches it down. And he sits down and opens a beer and like watches the Thanksgiving Day parade like this. And I thought, like, there are people that have Christmas like that. Like, there are people that do. And I'm not. This isn't my moment of like, so be grateful for what you have. I'm not saying that, but there are different tones that holidays, obviously, they do strike. And I think like the Eagles, bells will be ringing the sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. It's like, it's a great song. It's like whenever like I've been hearing happy, 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 you're like, okay, I don't want to hear happy anymore. And then you hear Don Henley go, bells will be ringing. You're like, yes, we have the sad now. So that's helpful.
I think we can agree though. Like, one of the worst Christmas songs is that John Lennon one, like, the war is over. That was just
oh, yeah, well. Tyler did a great, y'all want to go some deep Advent cuts. Tyler did a great class last year on obscure Christmas songs. And he had like these great obscure Christmas songs with gospel themes in them. And there was that one great one where there's like the newsreel of all like the bad news that's being read.
Yeah, over. Dark,
yeah, and then there's like a silent night behind it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really good. That's a great deep cut. Everyone's crying in here. And I asked Tyler to do it again this year, but he's having a baby on Tuesday. So he said, no, I'm not going to. Was this a fun class, everyone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to get into our feels a bit. Want to get into like the Iron Bowl's over. Christmas is coming. We're feeling it. I'm excited for these 4 weeks. Caroline's class is going to be great. Jay is going to be awesome with the Christmas Home Alone. And Elizabeth Fagan's going to be great. We're excited about it. Yeah. Christmas party Thursday night. We'd love to see you all there if you want to come. And free of charge, we'll have food and refreshments and festive cheer. And you don't have to wear an ugly sweater or anything. You can just come. And we have 4 great classes coming up. And happy Advent to you all. Yeah, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for these people here today. Thank you for on-ramps that you give us Lord, to come to yourself. And I pray that in this time that we might perhaps feel our way towards you, because you're already here. And I pray that you would call our names and we would hear. Pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.